Welcome to the Curious Podcast, where we are constantly in the process of getting to the bottom of shit. Hello, hello, and welcome back to the land of the free. I've been on holiday and I'm finally back, feeling refreshed, more schizo than ever, coming back to you with a fairly eerie episode this week. I feel like whenever I make an episode about Japan, it's always something super dystopian. The country comes off as a long-running Black Mirror series, except real life, which is why it's so scary and fascinating at the same time. It is still on my bucket list of places to visit though, so yeah. Japan hasn't been able to catch a break since their economic collapse in the 90s, and before that, the aftermath of World War II. Hopefully things get better at some point, but till then, here's some more Japan content. People are going missing at rapid rates in Japan, not because kidnappings are rife, but because the people going missing have willingly signed out of their lives. This isn't a new phenomenon, but has been an ongoing happening that has continued to transpire in the background of Japanese society. The problem is so huge nationwide that there are dedicated sites such as JapanPI.com, where if you go to their personal section in the drop-down menu, you will see several categories listed such as personal investigations, child investigations, find lost family, find missing person, infidelity, personal background, and surveillance. Now, you might think to yourself, well, there's probably PI websites in every country because people want to find people. But in Japan, it's a slightly unique situation because of the laws, which I will get into a little later. The site is run by private investigators who look for missing families, friends, and loved ones, obviously. Most people rely on this method to find their missing friends and family in Japan. Japanese police legally can only do so much due to the country's very strict and controversial privacy laws regarding citizens. Quote, unlike the United States, there is no national database for missing people in Japan. There are no documents or identifiers, such as social security numbers, that can be used to track a person once they begin traveling within the country. It is against the law for police to access ATM transactions or financial records, end quote. So yeah, that part. Data protection laws in the country have been amended over the years to include all businesses that hold personal data of individuals, from phone companies to banks and so on. Information such as name, date of birth, email address, etc., is categorized as personal information. Companies holding this information are not allowed to share with any third parties unless the individual gives permission. I know you're wondering why the police cannot access a missing person's records like other countries. They're missing, and their families want to find them or at least confirm they are okay. These missing cases we're discussing are pretty unique in the fact that most, if not all, of the individuals reported as missing are alive. Maybe not well, but they are alive and functioning. If they haven't given, for example, their bank consent to share their records, even with police, then there is nothing that can be done as no crime has actually been committed. This has left many families and loved ones in a precarious situation. The ones who can afford to hire a private investigator to find out more do, and the ones that can't just sit there hoping maybe that the person comes back. It wouldn't be Japan though if there wasn't a specific term to refer to these willingly missing people. Johatsu, which means evaporated people, is what they are most commonly known as. It's so conflicting when you think about it because some of these evaporated people may have fled a really bad situation And in that case, it's great that Japanese privacy laws can protect them from being found if that's what they wish. Then there are families that just want to know if their loved one is okay or send them money, but police can't conduct any investigation because of these strict laws. If you want to disappear, just become a Japanese citizen, honestly. This is probably one of the reasons it's so hard to get a citizenship there. Who knows? I did, however, find recent coverage about the evaporated people on news outlet France 24, which was pretty interesting.
Even though we reported her missing, the police did nothing. That's the reality. We would often go to the police station, even late at night, because my wife was in mental turmoil. One day the police said to us, "Your daughter's case is not the only one we have. Do you know how many people disappear in Japan every year? It's 90,000. We hope she's still alive, but part of us fears that she may be dead. It never ends. Like we're going around in circles. It'll be on our minds for the rest of our lives."
Who hasn't dreamed of abandoning everything and starting all over again? In Japan, many people do just that. There's even a word for it, johatsu, or the evaporated. Every year, thousands of people plan their own disappearance so they can start a new life. They do it for any number of reasons. Problems at work or at school, debt, mental illness, domestic abuse, family disputes, or for no apparent reason.
The sad reality is that the rigidity of Japanese society is suffocating for many, and this is why they choose to disappear, leaving everyone in their old lives behind. Fear of failure and shame are all too much for many, which is why around 90,000 people a year choose to go missing in the country. This culture of shame is so neatly weaved into every area of Japanese society, be it work, school, family. It creates a super hyper-focused lens on public perception as how you are perceived by neighbors, family, and co-workers is of the utmost importance, leading, as we can see, to major consequences. In the West, we really take for granted that mantra of not caring, not giving a fuck what people think. Obviously, people still care what everyone thinks to a degree, but we are still afforded a freedom of expression, a chance to mess up and rebuild. But in Japan, it's like the polar opposite. This means that something small is blown way out of proportion. Sometimes things are going to be shitty. You may lose a job or fail a test, maybe even fall into debt, but in Western society, for example, it's not necessarily the end of the world. In Japan, everything could quite literally be the end of the world. I'm not even joking when I say that. And that is a super crazy way to live. Some people are leaving their lives behind because of embarrassment and something they could easily overcome, which is such a shame because this kind of culture completely overlooks resilience and the beauty in that. Imagine never seeing your family again because you were scared of what they might think about your grades, for example. You really are causing yourself way more harm in the long run. I think the majority of the evaporated people need to get a grip, but at the same time, I didn't grow up in such a restricting society, so I can't comprehend doing the same thing. But very unrelated, but related, anime definitely portrays the over-exaggeration of Japanese culture, because some of the stories I'm going to read you guys is wild as to why people decided to disappear forever. Quote, Norihiro, now 50, he disappeared himself 10 years ago. He'd been cheating on his wife, but his true disgrace was losing his job as an engineer. Too ashamed to tell his family, Norihiro initially kept up appearances. He'd get up early each weekday, put on his suit and tie, grab his briefcase, and kiss his wife goodbye. Then he'd drive to his former office building and spend the entire workday sitting in his car, not eating, not calling anyone. Norihiro did this for 1 week. The fear that his true situation would be discovered was unbearable. "I couldn't do it anymore," he tells Muga. "After 19 hours, I was still waiting because I used to go out for drinks with my bosses and colleagues. I would roam around, and when I finally returned home, I got the impression my wife and son had doubts. I felt guilty. I didn't have a salary to give them anymore." On what would have been his payday, Norihiro groomed himself immaculately, got on his usual train line in the other direction towards Sanya. He left no word, no note, and for all his family knows, he wandered into Suicide Forest and killed himself. Today, he lives under an assumed name, in a windowless room he secures with a padlock. He drinks and smokes too much, and has resolved to live out the rest of his days practicing this most masochistic form of penance. "After all this time," Norihiro says, "I could certainly take back my old identity, but I don't want my family to see me in this state. Look at me. I look like nothing. I am nothing. If I die tomorrow, I don't want anyone to be able to recognize me." End quote. Oh my god, he left his family. He left his family, guys. You'd think he was a serial killer. He's so guilty for something that happens to people every single day, losing a job. And this could have been resolved. He really could have just sat down with his wife or his family, his friends. There's got to be a better option than this. I'm sorry, but this is way too dramatic. And I'm quite a dramatic person at times, but I would never do this. I would never run away from my family because I lost my job. It's quite selfish because people are going to wonder whether you died or not. And putting people through that torture, I just think is unnecessarily cruel. But anyway, let's get to another story. Quote, another case, unresolved, involved the young mother of a disabled 8-year-old boy. On the day of her son's school musical, in which he was performing, the mother disappeared, despite promising the boy she'd be sitting in the front row. Her seat remained empty. She was never seen again. Her husband and child agonized. The woman had never given any indication she was unhappy, in pain, or had done something she thought wrong. She's a mother. Maybe her path will lead her back to her loved ones. Okay, I'll read you guys one more. Quote, private detective Sakai Furuchi was able to find a young man who disappeared at age 20. He hadn't come home after taking an exam, and by chance, one of his friends had spotted him in southern Tokyo. Sakai wandered the streets until finding the student, who was, Morga writes, shaking from shame. He had not taken the exam for fear of failing it and disappointing his family. Tempted by suicide, he had not found a way to take his life. End quote. Okay, this is actually psychotic, guys. How can you live any life if any kind of hardship equates to doomsday? I'm not saying the West is exactly a bastion of hope, but this type of culture is not conducive to a healthy and functioning society. This is probably a small part of why Japanese society is imploding in on itself and going through this long, slow, painful death that we are all witnessing. Their entertainment slaps, though. It really does. They produce amazing shows. It's just insane that most of their population are clinically depressed, most likely. On a serious note, the evaporated people are such a huge population that there are entire underground cities dedicated to people that never want to be found again. A place where you can vanish and become invisible to society. One such place, formerly known as the Kamagasaki slum, but now called Arinchiku, is inhabited by evaporated people as well as some homeless people. These evaporated people have come from all parts of Japan and they've settled in that area as their final destination. The area cannot be found on any maps, which is intentional, The government wants you to know nothing of these types of slums existing because they feel like it's a sore thumb to Japan and they themselves are ashamed of it. As you can see, shame literally rules the country and has it in a chokehold. The slum is home to around 25,000 people. The area in Osaka is also a place where people can get cheap accommodation and low-income jobs as day laborers. Cash in hand, of course. Hotels, hostels, and shelters with no windows can be found at rates as low as $15 a night. People stand at the side of the street, sometimes all day, hoping to get hired for odd jobs. Many of the inhabitants live under false identities. They work just enough to get by and live below the poverty rate. This shadow economy thrives because of the secrecy surrounding those that have chosen to disappear. I did see a few articles that mentioned the Yakuza will go to these type of places to get cheap labor and do other corrupt shit. And I mean, I can't say I'm not surprised. With the government pretending this issue doesn't exist and the lack of police investigation, areas like this would be a goldmine for criminal gangs and organizations. Then there are services just for people who want to disappear, known as movers. It sounds like something out of a movie. This service was created for, quote, those who never want to be found, who want to make their disappearances look like abductions, their homes look like they've been robbed, no paper trail or financial transactions to track them down. Nighttime Movers was one such company, started by a man named Shu Hatoru. He'd run a legitimate moving service until one night, in a karaoke bar, a woman asked if Hatoru could arrange for her to disappear, along with her furniture. She said she could not stand her husband's debts, which were ruining her life. Hatoru charged $3,400 per midnight move. His clientele was vast, from housewives who'd shopped their families into debt, to women whose husbands had left them, to university students who were sick of doing chores in their dorms, end quote. I mean, if you're literally disappearing because you're sick of uni, you're just a piece of shit for putting your family through that. What the actual fuck? But anyway, this guy was making a killing helping evaporated people disappear. You can only imagine how long this has been a thing or a second option of escaping life when there's businesses capitalizing off it. The guy running the Night Movers has since retired from it, but I wouldn't be surprised if there were more just like it. There's also books in Japan on how to write your family the perfect letter before disappearing so that police won't look for you. All of this is legal too, very, very legal. But some of the evaporated people are pieces of shit, so don't feel bad for every person that goes missing. Sometimes people are running away because they've actually fucked over everyone in their lives, which must be so annoying because you live in a country that literally protects their privacy. What I'm confused about is why people who are put into debt don't tell the police that a crime was committed. So for example, if I lived in Japan and someone close to me used all my credit cards or whatever and put me into thousands and thousands of yen in debt, I would call police and tell them they robbed me blind and I had no idea. Even if I let them use my card and spend my money, I would lie because in Japan, as soon as it's seen as crime related, they will investigate and look for the person. So people need to learn how to play the system a bit more. Sometimes it's okay to tell white lies because the ends justify the means. I hope someone has tried that at least to get some justice for themselves, you know? However, as I briefly mentioned earlier, there are some families that are desperate to find their loved ones and don't care about whatever shame they're running from. These people seek out private investigators, but they are super expensive and not everyone can afford to pay around $500 a day, which is a common rate for their services. Alas, this is why it is such a popular choice for many. This is basically the other option other than suicide, which everyone knows is already high in Japan.
The The police's reluctance to help means that some people turn to private investigators. This PI in central Tokyo is searching for a 27-year-old man who had disappeared a week earlier.
Sorry to disturb you, but I'm looking for someone. Have you seen the person in this photo in the past few days?
Recruited by the missing man's family, he's focusing his search on cheap hotels in the capital.
The missing man moved around a lot, but thanks to his cell phone records, we were able to see the history of his hotel reservations.
Using unconventional methods, some PIs draw on a network of informers who work for phone companies, but they also need lucky breaks.
Sometimes things happen fast and we quickly find the missing person. Sometimes we find them after visiting two or three hotels.
This PI has visited about 50 hotels in a single day, filling his file with photographs and details of possible sightings.
Are you from the police?
No.
Well, then it's difficult for us to talk to you.
I see, but could you at least tell me if you've seen this person?
I can't really say for sure. Everyone is wearing a mask these days.
Hiring a private investigator in Japan, where people value their privacy, is expensive. It can cost 500 euros a day, and there are no guarantees of success.
All in all, though, it's pretty fucking sad that people of all ages are just walking away from everyone and everything without leaving a trace. It's also a very reactionary thing to run away from anything because you haven't dealt with the issue at hand. This is another reason I hate collectivist societies. Speaking from experience, being raised in a culture that was very collectivist focused, there is no individual in those type of societies. It's always the group first, and it's something I've ranted about before because it ignores the individual. What use is putting the group first if the majority of the individuals are depressed because they can't express their individuality out of fear? There's got to be some sort of happy medium where aspects from both approaches can be utilized. But till then, I guess people are going to keep disappearing until there's some sort of societal shift, and things like that don't happen very easily and they take a lot of time. So Japan is going to have to go through a lot more suffering before things get better, but that is life, to be honest. And sometimes things are shit, but they will get better at some point, as cheesy as it sounds. You just have to be willing to wait it out and try, put the work in, do enough, you know, do something different. Like, if this way of life is not working out and it hasn't been working out for 100 years, maybe it's not it. Maybe you need to change the approach. It's just common sense. Sometimes you need to see things with a five-year-old kid's logic and realize, yeah, I need to do something else, because repeating the same thing again and again is fucking insanity. That's literally the definition. Do you think these people are all mad, which I kind of do, and need to get a grip, or do you wish you could disappear yourself? I know I've had those moments, so it's probably a natural thing. We all wish we could disappear sometimes or just go into a hole, but that is not life. It's not realistic. You can't keep disappearing when things go bad. Anyways, this is your daily reminder to follow me on Rumble so I can start streaming, and check www.thecuriouspodcast.co.uk, where I'm currently updating videos in the Matrix section, because yes, it's been a minute, and I will be updating the rest of the website, such as articles and Six Ad World posts, which are hidden behind a paywall. Thanks for listening, guys. I really appreciate it. If you're into the strange, morbid, or curious, I'll see you in the next episode. Stay safe. Stay curious, for real.